All right, so now you know one of the ways you can honor your mom and your dad. O-B-E-Y. Obey your mom and dad. I want to tell you about a story. This is back a few years ago, and it was in Minnesota. And there were three anxious-looking men waiting in the hospital waiting room. Their wives were in labor. The nurse came in at one point, and to the first man, she said, "You had twins." And the man said, "Wow, what a coincidence. I play for the Minnesota Twins." And wow, that was amazing. And then a little while later, the nurse came in, and there was a young man there named Taylor. And she said, "Taylor, your wife had triplets." And he said, "Wow, that's crazy because I work for 3M. And about that time, the third man slumped over in his chair and fell onto the floor, and the nurse ran to him and said, "Sir, are you okay?" And he said, "I don't think so. I work for 7-Up. So parenting can be exciting, right? An exciting adventure. The fifth commandment is one that I think is often overlooked, a little bit misunderstood, underrated. It's a commandment with blessing. And it's a commandment with a promise. And we're going to look at some of those things today. One thing that I want you to maybe open your eyes up to, that it's much bigger. Its application and its consequence is probably much, much bigger than what we typically think of. It has application, obviously, in the home, but in the church, at the workplace. Really, it provides a stability and a foundation to all of society, yet it is sorely neglected today. So here is a picture of, or one statement. It's hard to define the family sometimes, but here is an attempt to do that. I think we have it on the screen. It says, honor, in fact, I'm going to wait. Let's wait for that a little bit, but I want us to consider the word honor a little bit before we get to this. Just what does honor mean? And understand that honoring our parents is also a way of helping us to understand how to love and bless and relate with our neighbors and coworkers and so forth. And really, this parental relationship that we have early on really serves to mold and shape our future relationships, probably a lot more than we can even begin to understand. In fact, occasionally you probably come across a young man or a young woman who's just extremely kind and considerate and patient and respectful, and you say, "Well, that is so refreshing." And it's probably the moment where you should thank their mom and dad, right? Because they were raised well, and they were taught what it means to honor not only their mom and dad, but to honor other people. And there are exceptions, of course. We know that sometimes there's some pretty good parents who have a kid that struggles, and sometimes we have some parents that struggle that aren't that great of parents, but end up with some pretty great kids as well. And so, but in general, that's the way God set it up, right? The way He designed it, that if parents would teach and reflect Jesus Christ, that this is drawn into the heart of their young ones and affects them in wonderful ways. I want you to continue to think about this word honor and what it means, and kind of we'll get to some more specifics of that in just a moment. One thing that I've noticed, if you look back at history, some of these totalitarian regimes and people that tried to dominate the people and take over cultures and nations, one of the things that they did early on, or they would do early on, was to separate the youth from their mom and dad, separate the youth from their family, and get the youth to look at, look at the nation or look at the leader or whatever, and begin to make the nation or the leader almost a god, and to get them to disconnect from the family. And the reason that's so important to realize is because those people realize that when a young man or a young woman is tightly connected in the family, it's a healthy family, it's difficult for people to penetrate and influence them when they're looking to a God, when they're looking to their mom and dad to understand what life is really all about. How does that play out in America? Maybe one way would be that we seem to have a society that is making or helping the kids maybe not so much look at the nation, but to look at themselves as being independent, as looking at themselves as being so self-reliant, almost in an idolatrous manner, and detaching themselves from the family. I think we see a lot of that happening in our society. Here's this quote that I wanted to tell you about. We'll put it up on the screen, and it could be tweaked, but here's one idea of what a family unit could be, should be. A family is a God-glorifying covenant community where worship, learning, and transformation happen in the context of grace and truth and unconditional love. And so you might be thinking of your family and other families and thinking, you know, how can we become that kind of a family where the Spirit of God, the truth of God is moving and there's truly transformation and there's honor and respect being taught? The issue is that we have an enemy, of course, not only a national enemy at sometimes, but we have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, who's in an all-out war against the family unit and against our children. And he's trying to undermine the meaning of gender, of what a husband is, what a father is, what a wife is, what a mother is, what sexuality is. And really, he's trying to undermine the very essence and the foundation of the family. And so we need to keep that in mind as mothers and fathers and as youth and as children as well. Here's the text. It's, of course, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given you. So look at that verse for a moment. You're probably familiar with it. This word honor, then, I want us to kind of zero in on that a little bit. Some have said honor is, trying to describe it, is made up of at least three things: reverence, obedience, and gratitude. I think that certainly is part of it. There's some things that we could probably add to that. One thing we should note is that if you're a parent, you know that parents are not always deserving of honor, right? We're just not. We're flawed, and we make mistakes, and we mess up, and we have attitudes, and sometimes we're selfish, and sometimes we're prideful. Sometimes we have sins of omission and commission and so forth. And so, but in another way, we do deserve the honor because of the position of a parent. It's God-ordained and instituted, and it's an authority that God has granted to us. So in that sense, we are always deserving of honor from our children. If you look at the Hebrew word there for honor, it's kavod, and it the root word has to do with kind of the weight of something, and the glory of something. So being a parent is a weighty thing. It's a significant thing. It's to be valued. And so we want to help our children understand that and reverence this God-ordained position as a parent. I want to read just some passages to you. And these, I think I have just a partial listing of them on the screen, but just to give you an idea of the significance of what we're talking about here, because I think we trivialize often this idea of respect and honoring, and we live in a land where honor and respect are quickly fading away and almost gone off the horizon, right? This is out of Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 3 and verse 32. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And then verse 32 says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. I think it's just so significant that God places some of these things among other items that we can see clearly that are really significant. And we might look at some of these and say, well, that's important, but not such a big deal. And I think God is telling us over and over again, no, it is. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. And we need to help our children understand what honor and respect is. And Micah 7:6 says, for son dishonors father, daughter rises against mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Ezekiel 22:7, and they were talking about Israel's sins there. And then in Ezekiel 22:7, he's confronting Jerusalem with their sins, and he says, "In they have made light of father and mother, and in your midst they have oppressed the stranger. In you they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow." And then one text that you might think of that comes to mind is Romans 1. This is verses 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. And then it says, disobedient to parents. And then it goes on, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, and so forth. And it's, again, it's just driving home the point how significant this is. And why is it that our society has lost the grasp of the understanding and the practice of honor and respect in the home? Here's some ideas of how a child can honor their parents. I'll just list these. One, obviously, O-B-E-Y, a child when they're younger, to be obedient, to be receptive to instruction, to strive to live right, to live a righteous life, to be led of the Spirit, you know, to follow Christ, to be receptive to correction. A lot of verses we could pair with all of these things. To choose good friends, to hang around with people that will influence you well. And there's verses that talk about respecting the property of parents. I thought this was this is Proverbs 28:24. It says, whoever robs his father or mother and says, it is no transgression, nothing wrong with that, it's just mom and dad, the same is companion to a destroyer, is what the verse says. Interesting. Well, I think many parents today, they struggle with authority, and I think it's the influence of the culture. They may not be comfortable with authority, and so they can kind of fall in two ditches. Some migrate over to the ditch where they're just a dictator, but there's a lot today, I think, that migrate over to the other ditch. They're not comfortable with authority themselves, and so they don't want to be an authority figure in their child's life either, and so they give away their authority, and they allow the child to become his or her own authority. So the child is allowed to choose what they'll wear, what activities they want to engage in, what they'll eat, who they're going to spend time with. And by the time and age they go to school, they see themselves as quite autonomous, and they are the decision makers. And I can do what I want. And so the parents, in a sense, have little by little given away their authority and just a myriad of thousands of little transactions to these little ones as they grow up. And you might say, well, wait a minute, don't we want to teach our kids to be independent and good decision makers? And yes, we do, but We want to grant them that. We want that to be something we're teaching and working with them. What I'm talking about is when we make the child the authority and the child says to the parents, no, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's a totally different thing, is it not? And here's an example. You know, so that the oatmeal is set before the child, right? And he just gets this big old ugly look on his face and shoves it away. And the parent says, oh, I forgot, oatmeal's not your favorite. Well, I'm sorry, we have Sugar Smacks and Cocoa Puffs. Which would you like? Right? And I'm suggesting that maybe the better answer would be, honey, I know oatmeal is not your favorite, but it's good and it's nutritious. And maybe another day we'll have something you like better. But let's thank God for this food today. Let's eat it and be thankful. And rather than just kind of caving in. And you might say that, you know, that's getting a little picky, oatmeal, you know. But I'm telling you that all those little transactions, all those giving away of authority begin to affect a child's mind and heart. And they begin to see themselves as supreme and in a higher position over the parent. And then we wonder why we're going crazy, why our children are out of control. And most all of these situations, do you know who's to blame? Us, right, Mom and Dad? We did it. We created our own misery. Isn't that the truth? We don't like to hear that, but that's the reality of it, isn't it? The child is not really learning that God is good and has given them good parents, that they are to obey, and that it's a blessing to live under the authority of their parents. They're not learning that. They're learning to reject authority, and that making themselves the authority is what they should be doing. And so when we make our children these little independent decision makers, we give them an appetite for a freedom and a liberty which is not to be had. Because as believers, we are all under the authority of God, are we not? As believers, we all have the indwelling Christ residing within us. And when we bow to Him with joy and reverence and want to follow Him, therein lies true freedom and true joy, right? And if you understand that, that is the idea we're trying to give our children, that there is joy and there is happiness and there is blessing and there are good consequences when you accept the God-ordained authority that God has brought into your life. So this liberty does not exist because of individual freedom, because we're all, like I said, under this authority of God, and we need to embrace that and help our kids to embrace that. I want you to think about this idea for a moment, and I want to read this verse and then give you a little description of it. This is Psalm 119, verses 44 and 45. You may be familiar with that. It says, so I shall keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, or I will walk at freedom, for I seek your precepts. Can you imagine in your mind for a moment this 60-ton locomotive just barreling down the tracks? And we look at this powerful locomotive, and it has so much potential, and we're just in awe of the power of that thing, where it's going, and everything about it, and what it's pulling, and so forth. And we say, we should just let this thing loose. Let it off the tracks. Let it go free. And so we let it go off the tracks, and what happens very quickly? It gets mired down in the mud and comes to a screeching halt, right? A screeching halt. But the same is true of us, really. God has laid out the tracks, His Spirit-led truth that we're to walk in. And when we do that, we are blessed and we can run with liberty and we can run with freedom, knowing that we're following and pursuing a God who loves us and who saved us and who is calling us to great things and to eternity and so forth. So that is where we find our greatest liberty, our greatest freedom, our greatest joy, our greatest enjoyment is running freely on those God-ordained tracks and trying to translate that understanding into the hearts and minds of our children, of course, is the challenge. Now, admittedly, teaching children is not easy, is it? It requires diligence and consistent effort on the parents' part. And what are the big obstacles for us when we're trying to teach our parents, our kids, about honor and respect and a lot of other things? One is it's the corruption all around them, right? They're drinking in all of these things constantly. They're taking in the corruption of the world, and they do it when we're not watching, when we're not looking. They're just digesting, they're drinking it in, they're eating it, they're taking all these things in, the corruption, and it's affecting them. And then there's the curse, is their own nature, the nature of man that they're dealing with. And then finally, it is their foolishness or their childness. That is the third thing that they're dealing with. So we as parents, we have to recognize, you know, we put those three things together and they can lead a young man, a young woman down all kinds of bad paths that will bring severe consequences. As I read that fifth commandment today, you may have thought of Ephesians 6. And I want to read that verse 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Most of us know this, but as time passes, our relationship with our children changes, and changes dramatically eventually. And so honoring parents as children begins to look differently as time goes on. And it's interesting that 2 Timothy 3, it talks about the end times, and it says there's going to be some really issues because honor and respect is going to break down, and that certainly is a red flag of the end times. I'll just remind you of this text. It's 2 Timothy 3:1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous," and then what does it say? "Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous," all these things. And of course, at the end it says, "These are those who have a form of godliness, but have denied the power thereof. Turn away from such people." This is a big deal, isn't it? Much, much bigger than maybe what we think most of the time. So I mentioned these stages of life. Things begin to change as you become a young adult, as you get married, as you have a family of your own. If we were to just simplistically lay it out, first there's this the young family, the kids in the young family, those little kids. Of course, it is the best way, or one of the ways, primary ways that they honor their parents is to O-B-E-Y, right? Obey your mom and dad. That's the young family. And then those parents, those kids, they grow up, and at some point in time, there's this empty nest. And then the kids value the parents' advice, but they are certainly not compelled to obey. They are adults, and they're seeking the Lord, and they're in the Word. They're trying to be led of the Spirit. And then there's the golden years, right? Parents are aging. And then the children, there are special ways that I think that they honor their parents and offer assistance. And we'll look at some of those things in just a moment. Of course, parents are not the only source of authority in our lives, right? And Paul talks about civil authorities in Romans 13, but I think there is some overlap that we ought to take notice of. This is Romans 13, verse 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good. O-B-E-Y, right? And you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but because of conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear is due, and then it says, honor to whom honor is due. And as I read that, I hope you were kind of seeing some parallels, some application to kids and parents and honor and respect and so forth. But when we honor the authorities, we honor God. When we honor authority, we honor God. When we dishonor authorities, we dishonor God. And there is, as I hinted at earlier, there is a kind of honor that we give when it's deserved or not deserved. It's given because they are a God-ordained authority. And I think we have to make sure our children understand that as well. It's not so much that they've earned the honor, but it's because of the virtue of their God-given position, right? What happens, though, when we, as children, we look at our parents and we say, yeah, that's nice, but I didn't come from one of those families where there was honor and respect. I came from a family where there was anger and abuse and wretchedness. You don't know where I came from. You don't understand. And so we have to deal with that. And how do we honor the dishonorable, if you will? How do we honor those parents who have behaved and abhorrently even at times? And so I want to give you just some things, and we won't go into these very much, but some things to consider as you struggle with that, because there are many today that come from these homes where the kids are left with this agonizing baggage and this pain and this hurt and this bitterness and this lack of love and lack of a lot of different things. And when we talk to them about honor and respecting their parents, they say, obviously you don't know my dad, my mom. But I would challenge you, if that is you today, that there are ways that you still are called to honor your mom and your dad, even though they were maybe very flawed and did some things which were very, very hurtful to you. And so I want to give you just a couple things to wrestle with here, and we won't spend much time on this, but to distinguish, as you look at this and struggle with it, distinguish between honor and obedience. You know, if our parents are doing something that is against what God commands, is against His Word, or if our parents, if we're older and the parents kind of overstep their boundaries and are trying to push us as children, adult children, into doing things that's beyond what they should be asking or pushing us as adult children, then we can say, no, you know, I love you, I respect you, I want to honor you, but with a dignity and a calmness and respect, we say, but I can't obey you in that area of life. You know, my supreme authority is God and my Lord Jesus and His Word, and so I love you, but I can't follow that path, and I know you want me to, and you following that path, but I can't do that. Some of these overlap, just a couple more, distinguishing between the person and the position, honoring the position, distinguishing between honor and relationship, Sometimes, you know, a child may have come from a home where there was abuse, sexual abuse or something. There's an unrepentant father, and so there's not much relationship there. But there, I think there are ways to still honor them, in a sense, as being your father or your mother, and to be genuine and sincere about that, but still to be very resolute that you're not going along with what happened. So it's kind of separating, looking at relationship. When the relationship's broken because of what has been done in the past, I think there are ways we can still honor them. Distinguishing between honor and agreement. And again, this is similar to some of the other things, but just sometimes our parents are following a path that is, it is wrong, and we think that, well, if I honor them somehow, I'm agreeing with what they believe or what they're doing, or I'm enabling them. And I don't think that has to be the case at all. We can still honor them and respect them, but disagree with what they're doing. And then the last one's just somewhat of the same. All of these has a lot of different facets, but distinguishing between honoring and enabling. It doesn't mean that you're going to cover up what they did or what they're doing even now. It doesn't mean that they aren't going to be held responsible in some way, but still there are ways that God calls us to honor them, even in these most difficult situations. How do we honor our aging parents in their golden years? And there are verses that we, if we had time, we could go in and talk about these. But I want to just mention six primary, basic ways. One is to forgive them. They were flawed, just like you are flawed as a parent. They probably tried to do their best, but they made mistakes. And you need to forgive them. You need to forgive them. Speak well of them. As best you can, speak well of them. Number three, esteem them publicly and privately. Show honor to them, respect to them. And I would add, you know, seek their wisdom, seek their counsel. They may be flawed, but they have lived a life. They have a lot of experiences and things that they have encountered and went through that you have not yet. And so, you know, go to them and say, Dad, I'm facing this situation and I am not sure what to do here. What would you do? You know, seek their counsel, seek their wisdom. Support them emotionally, support them spiritually, encourage them as best you can. It's interesting, David, he was in a bad situation, and David writes with God, he says, "Do not cast me off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." You know, I don't know what all was going through David's mind, but as a parent, at some point there's a realization that with age comes isolation, and everybody's busy, and I'm not. Everybody's going here, there, and yon, and I'm not. And I don't want to be forgotten. I don't want to be overlooked. I want to be loved and remembered and valued by my kids. And so, just supporting them emotionally. And then the last one, oftentimes it comes to a place where it's not just an emotional support, but it may be a financial support that you're helping them in the very end of their life, or you're taking them back into your home. The roles are reversed, right? And Colleen and I had a conversation a little bit with her parents, and her dad's struggling with his health, lives on the west side, in Port Orchard area, and they built a house over there, and they have a beautiful piece of land, but he's just not able to do much at all anymore, and so everything's falling upon Colleen's mother, and it's hard for her. And we would love, we would love to have them, you know, come and move into our basement or find a place close or something, but and I know he doesn't want to leave, and I understand he doesn't want to leave his house and his land, and I certainly understand that, but I think the willingness to come alongside our parents and support them in any way that they need in the end, towards the end of their life. I'm teasing my son-in-law, Joe, sometimes. I tell him, you know, someday, as I get older, I'm probably going to show up on your doorstep someday, and I'm going to be drooling and stuttering, and probably can't walk real well, and I'm going to ask, I'm going to tell him, you know, it's time, I need to live in your basement now. And so he just smiles, but he doesn't know I'm serious about that. The day's coming, Joe, quicker than you think. So God calls every child of every age to honor and respect their parents. I just want to challenge you today to think about your parents and how can you honor them? How can you respect them? And that it is to be an outflow of your honor and respect for God. God has placed you under the authority. God has placed you into this family, has given you these parents. And so, you know, struggle with that and ask, what way is God calling me to honor, to respect my parent? I look forward to the day when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back and we don't have all of these struggles. Life gets hard sometimes, doesn't it? When our health fails, when our parents are hurting, and we're struggling to raise children, we're struggling to help maybe our parents and all of these things. But you know what? There's coming a day. There is coming a day when the Lord Jesus will return and he's going to make everything right and we will be given new bodies and we won't deal with all of these things. But until that day, let us be found faithful. Let us honor and respect our parents. Let us teach our children well. I want to have you stand with me as our worship team comes and we'll sing a closing song. And I pray as they come up that you would be asking yourself, so how is it that if you're a youth, how is it that I can honor and respect my parents better? And maybe you're in your middle age and you're thinking, my parents are getting older, they're aging, and the years that I have left with them, how is it that I can honor them and respect them and bless them? Cry out to God and ask him to reveal those ways by his Spirit and by his Word. Let us honor and respect our parents.